And welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rainer, where we equip churches to move from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Revitalize and Replant is brought to you by the North American Mission Board.
Welcome to episode number 137. This one is a bit different, so get prepared for this one, but I think it can be very, very helpful. The name of this episode is Five Ways to Earn Extra Income to Support Yourself in Ministry. My name is Tom Rainer. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Ezell. Dr. Ezell is president of the North American Mission Board, and they are the sponsor of Revitalize and Replant, as well as their entity or their site, churchreplanters.com, with more than 10% of churches in North America at risk of closing. And the North American Mission Board is committed to reversing the trend by decreasing the death rate of existing churches while simultaneously increasing the birth rate of new churches. Come on and learn more about what it means to be a replanting pastor or explore resources for replanting and revitalization in your own church, go to churchreplanters.com. Okay, so here's a scenario, Kevin Ezell. You're in a church, and perhaps you're barely paying the bills. They say that you're a full-time paid pastor or staff person, but you're really not by most common standards. Or things are so tight on the income front that you just need to find a few extra dollars. Or you have a desire to go bivocational, where you can be in the world and not of the world, but in the world, connecting with people. And that's a path that you want to go. Oftentimes, many people in the area of Christian finance are willing to talk about expenses. They're willing to talk about retirement and plans for retirement. They're willing to talk about paying off debt. But we rarely, from a Christian perspective, talk about the income side. How can we find more ways to earn extra income? You gave the example, Kevin, of a church that you had that at least supposedly, church or you pastored, I should say, that supposedly you were full-time, but if you wanted to go out for a meal, you didn't have the money to do so. And so you've taken up some side gigs in your time as well, right?
All right. I umpired baseball games, Little League baseball games on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday mornings. Also, when we have six kids, we've had the privilege of adopting three of those and needed a good bit of extra funds in order to adopt. So I flipped houses for several years.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And so my three younger children were all, it's hard to go into a bank and say, I'd like to finance a child, you know, so you have to come up with those resources. I was in a position at the church where I didn't want to ask people to help. And so I started flipping houses. I paid people to do what I didn't know what to do, but I could have put up ceiling fans. I could paint. And what I did is I documented the time. It was when I was at Highview, and I documented the time I was doing it on my day off and on Saturdays. And so my secretary, you know, I'd have her keep that list because I didn't want anybody to say I was taken away from what I was doing at the church to do that. And so, you know, you just do what you have to do. There's many ways out there to supplement. And if you especially have certain needs you need to take care of at certain times in your life, there's a way to get it done. You just have to have the tenacity to pull it off.
The first point that we make on this is a side digital gig. That is such a broad subject that we could go on and on forever. I actually know some pastors who are doing pretty well reselling on eBay, ethically, above board. I know some that have some affiliate relationships on Amazon and are doing a good job there. I know some that are actually in the digital world earning money in the blogosphere or podcast world. But my point is simply this. The digital world has opened up all kind of doors. Look in the show notes and you'll see Art Rainer's brand new book called Find More Money. And basically, he says, in order to support your family, to be generous and to have your hands wide open, there may be times that you need to find some more money. And whether it be in the noble case of Kevin Ezell saying this was for the purpose of adoption, or it just simply be you want to, I can tell you a pastor right now that I know very well that is giving very generously to the church building program because he was able to do so for a nighttime side gig. I'm not going to say the name just simply because I haven't got permission, but there are ways to earn money, and the digital world is opening up all kinds of doors. And so I'm glad Art wrote a book from a biblical perspective of not just digital, but digital is one of them. So I don't know how much you have seen of the digital world and among pastors and other church leaders earning money, but it's out there, Kevin.
No, I've seen guys do all sorts of, sorts of things. I think digital is one. And then also many guys do the delivery option. They're very familiar with that. That's often suggested by some of the financial gurus. But again, you just got to be very careful. I would encourage you to look at not doing things necessarily. I don't think your first place to look would be inside the church to work for members necessarily.
That's a good point.
I would try to keep it outside the church and then use it for a dual purpose. You know what? I love some of my memories of flipping houses and doing those gangs. I got to know people I would have never gotten to know otherwise. And so it was really fun. And also, if you have a certain day, my church would give me a day off because of Sunday. And so I'd take that. And then, you can substitute teach is an easy way. And most school systems can give you, they're desperate for people to be substitutes. And so that's a really good way. A good way to connect with kids, but also it's a good way to make some money without a long-term commitment.
I love the point about getting into the schools because that's getting into the community. And that's what many of these side gigs do. A digital gig won't get you into community, but there's number two, the side delivery gig can definitely get you in the community. Have you ever delivered pizzas?
No. I was, I was a model at one time, but not delivered pizzas.
A model what?
No, I'm totally kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. About singing telegrams. Or can you imagine that? And some of these things, I saw that with one of our planners that actually had the ability to do that. But, of course, on the other side, we have a lot of our planners that, work for Starbucks or things like that, that on the side that help them connect in a way.
Yeah. That's a good to be in a coffee shop. I mentioned in a previous podcast that I use Shipt, Shipt, for grocery delivery, and that a pastor actually showed up at my house one time and recognized me, and we had a great conversation, and he said he's supporting himself. The church cannot afford him, so he's supporting himself, and he gets a base fee from Shipt is now owned by Target. There are others out there, obviously. But he's making very good income, side income, I should say, by the tips that take place. And the moment a delivery comes in and they walk away, up pops on your smartphone, would you like to tip your chip delivery person? And it gives you the different ranges. One that says you're a jerk because you didn't give anything. The other one says you're not really generous, but you got by with it. And finally, you're being very generous. And of course, you always want to. Especially if you're representing Christ, you want to be generous, and so you give him a good tip. But he said he got into so many homes that way of people that he would not have ever gotten in otherwise.
Yeah, this is probably going to extreme. You don't want to go, but we had one planner start his own handyman type service, and we just did handyman stuff, and it started doing so well. I had to hire somebody, and it did so well that he was fighting the temptation of, my word, I'm doing so well. Is this some way of God saying, hey, do this and just be a team member on a church instead of, I did all that to say, there are plenty of opportunities for a person if they're aggressive and a little entrepreneurial. Of course, you were born with that gene. Not everybody is, but there's plenty of opportunities out there of ways to connect with people and provide for your family at the same time.
Didn't you mention in a previous podcast that you can put up a fan yourself?
Oh, a ceiling fan? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I can't do any of that. I might be entrepreneurial, but I can't do a thing.
Well, you prepay me $150, I'll come over and do yours.
Got it.
Praise the denominational guys. You got to get the money up front,
I tell you what, when it comes to manual dexterity, my name is not even close to being able to do that. I am terrible. In fact, my late father one time said, are you really that worthless or are you just pretending?
Yeah. It really comes in handy. I'm at the age where I've got six kids and my son's, he's working on his master's out in California. He called me and he said, hey dad, quick question. And you just love it at that age when they want anything,
Yes.
And so he said, hey, how do you tighten a toilet seat? And I was like, oh man, a question I can answer. I was almost giddy over it. And I spent 10 minutes telling him, over instructed him just because I was so excited I knew how to do it. You know,
I've got three sons and I've never gotten a call to tighten the toilet seat or any other kind of manual labor.
You've called them.
Yes. How do you do this? In fact, I was trying to do something not too long ago, and Jess, my youngest son who lives in the Nashville area, said, Dad, just step away. Just step away. You can't do this.
Less is better, Dad. Less is
better. I'm terrible at that.
Have you ran any guys on Uber or Lyft or any of those type of jobs? I've ran into many guys who are in the ministry doing those type of...
I have. I use Uber. I haven't used Lyft. No reason why. I'm not necessarily advocating one over the other. But yes, and I've done it. I've been in Uber a few times. And then more times I'm hearing about them. So you're obviously running into them when you use Uber as well or Lyft.
Yeah, you run into the people who are in ministry and do that. It's such a because you work when you want to work, you know. And a lot of it depends on where you're located. So if you're in Litchfield, Kentucky, there's not a high Uber need. But, you know, if there's a big need, then, those are just such flexible and incredibly flexible. Because I finally asked a guy once in Boston, I said, what are you able to do, you know, and it was a phenomenal, you know, what he's able to pull off if he's able to, and he was in Boston to stay busy like that.
I talked to a pastor who lived 30 or 40 miles from Houston, and he was looking for a side gig. And I said, try Uber or Lyft. Now, here's what you have to do. You need to decide which day you're going to do that, which would be his day off.
Right.
The church says he's full-time, and he told me his salary. I said, you're not full-time paid. Not even close. And I said, decide the day you're going to do it. You'd need to do this on your day off. Decide the area that you're going to do Uber or Lyft, and that would be on his side of Houston, so he wouldn't have to go through the Houston traffic, and define that zip code or whatever you want to do. And I don't know if he went through it, but he got very excited about it because he was talking to me about that. But because he lived close enough to Houston, he could make a 30-minute drive and then stay there 3 or 4 hours and pick up some nice side income. I have no idea if he did it, but I'll be talking to him soon.
How do you feel about this? But you know what, when I was at Highview, we hired part-time guys to help us do some of the ministry visits that we need to make. We had a lot of hospitals to cover. And so pastors already knew how to do it. So I'd find pastors I knew that needed extra income, and we would bring them on, you know, to help us in certain visits. If I have nursing homes I need to cover or whatever it might be, it helped them, helped us. And we didn't need a full-time guy, but we need a part-time guy. And it was not Sunday related, you know, and they could add our visits onto the ones they already had.
Yeah, and they could go to a hospital visiting their own people and then visit yours.
Yeah, that sounds like I'm subcontracting out my care there. I'm not. We were trying to do extend. You know, people would say, hey, my aunt is in the hospital or my this or that. And we just, the amount would get so much. We would go on certain days. But we tried to, this way we could up the contacts and the connections to a daily basis if we had more people helping us. So.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's subcontracting ministry. I think that's really equipping the saints to do the work of ministry and providing them some supplemental income, even though it may not be within your own church. Man, that's a great way to do it. Here's another thing. This has been done by Sam Rainer at Bradenton. They had a staff member resign, no problems, just resign. And instead of replacing that position, he hired 10 people to do different types of ministry, and the total of the 10 was not even equal to the price of the one. Right. And so, for example, he had someone to lead worship in their newly adopted campus. He had another one that was doing visits for them. And so they're being paid. Many of them have ministry experience, but it's similar to yours, but not exactly. Those are within the church.
When I pastor First Baptist Marion, Illinois, we had a guy blowing insulation and doing our evangelism. We had a guy that was in the bait. He provided crickets and worms and things like that. Was also our student minister. And so
there's a story there. Crickets, worms.
Yeah, that's another podcast. But
yeah, there are all kind of possibilities in the digital world. You know, Uber and Lyft would not exist if they weren't in the digital world, because everything's tied to the navigation, to the GPS, and everything's tied there. I love reading the stories of both of them, because they didn't use any new technologies. They took existing technologies and then made something different with it, starting in San Francisco. turning a hobby into part-time income. Any thoughts on that? I'm thinking of a guy right now that, and by the way, this is being heard in March, but we're recording it before Christmas. So I need to give context right. Right now, he is picking up extra income because he's phenomenal at decorating for Christmas outside. And so he's making extra income. Just his hobby is just decorating, and especially exterior stuff.
So he's making a ton of money. You know, I just had that appraised at my house because I hate doing that.
Yes.
And they brought back the appraisal and decided I'm just going to be Scrooge. We're going dark this Christmas. I'm not doing it. But it's
I have a wreath on my door with no lights.
but you're exactly right. I know a guy who makes pens. I know a guy who does wood, cuts things out, wood, all sorts of hobbies that they enjoy doing, but they did turn them into, some part-time income.
And when you think about the outlets, and I think about eBay is one of many, there, Etsy and others are just, there are many possibilities there. The digital world has made it where you can sell these so much easier. And you talk about an income job that does not interfere with your pastoral ministry. You can fit that in anywhere you want to, particularly if it's a hobby that you love. You're going to be doing it anyway. Why not have the opportunity to make some additional income off that? So turn a hobby into a part-time income. Sometimes, I don't recommend this all the time because this is asking for money, but there are some times that you may be going into a place of ministry, at least for a season, where you can get some individual support. I was talking to a Southern Baptist pastor of a church, or he wants to be a pastor, and he really wants to do revitalization. But all the opportunities he has before him are not enough to support him and his family. So I encouraged him to ask for 1 year of support, no more than that. You don't want it to be ongoing where it becomes a dependency. And he did, and he got enough support for 1 year, and the church grew, and now it is taking care of him. So again, I'm hesitant to talk about, okay, go and ask for money, but maybe if it's something short term, you may be able to ask friends and family and a few others and raise support for it.
No, absolutely. And I think another, not only individuals, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would go to some trusted friend churches too. There are often churches would invest in a replanter and say, hey, for a year, we'll give you $1,000 a month or $500 a month. Or we did that several times. We were trying to help guys get on their feet. And I think individuals, but churches are a good place to start. If they're ones you know, I would not cold call people you don't know. I would try to network the ones that you do.
Hey, let me tell you something that's happening in our little nonprofit organization called Revitalize Network. We're continuing to see steady growth in this nonprofit side. And part of what we want to do is to be able to provide resources for revitalization. There's a church in Southwest Florida that's in desperate need of revitalization. We actually had a donor come to us, Kevin, and the money's going to be a flow through, but he said, basically, I want to give, and the amount that he put out there was $50,000. I want to give $50,000 for 18 months. So 50 plus another 6 months would be a total of $75,000 in order to get a revitalizer pastor into a church, but no more than that, and we'll pick the church, but then that money will go directly. So this will be the first time this little nonprofit, kind of the adjunct to Church Answers, has been able to fund a revitalizer, but it's temporary. It's a temporary support. And when a revitalizer goes in, he knows that at the end of 18 months, this money's going to come to a close.
Right. It's more of a launch purpose. You're just trying to get them, launch or relaunch. And that's very appropriate. And it's a great, great use and good stewardship of resources to do that. That's very gracious of that donor.
It is. So we've listed five. If you think of any others, let me know. The side digital gig, the side delivery gig, Uber, Lyft, hobby into part-time income, temporary, like consider asking individuals for support. Mm-hmm. Just to mention in our show notes, we've got the book Find More Money, which talks about this, the book by Art Rayner that has a, and you can listen to his podcast, Find More Money as well. And just has all kind of possibilities on there. Any other thoughts that come to your mind about this issue or other ideas, Kevin, before we sign it off?
Now, I think, honestly, just one drive down the road and you see many, many opportunities. You just got to be, you know, you got to be very aware of what's around you. There's plenty of opportunities out there, I believe, that you can supplement. You just got to be creative and observant.
Well, we hope that this has been helpful. We know that there are a lot of you in need of some type of supplemental income. We don't want to be crass about the money issue, but we want to be forthright that there are opportunities to do so. So I hope this has been helpful. Thank you again to Kevin Ezell. Let me remind you one more time that Revitalize 2020 is just around the corner, April 20th and 21st in Bradenton, Florida. We're so grateful to the North American Mission Board for being our presented sponsor. Thank you for doing all that you do. And we have 500 places available for the Revitalize 2020. We are selling out. We cannot create any more space. So you better sign up pretty quickly or the space is going to be gone. And I want to thank you, the listeners. I was just looking at the stats of Revitalize and Replant. And we have another podcast that we do called Rayner on Leadership. Because it's been around longer, it has more listeners. But I compared the early years of Rayner on Leadership and where it is now, kind of the big thing that is in the church leadership space. And then I compared it to Revitalize and Replant. And Revitalize and Replant is actually on a higher growth trajectory than Rayner on Leadership was at the same time. So that means there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of you who are listening in, and I thank you for doing so. Give us a rating and review at iTunes, Spotify, wherever your favorite podcast listening and downloading place will be. And thank you for being a part of this ministry, you the listener. And we'll continue together to replant and revitalize healthier churches as we do it for the glory of God together.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant with Tom Rayner. If you'd like to learn more about re-energizing your church to reach your community, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Play or in your favorite podcasting app. For additional resources on church leadership and to join the conversation online, visit TomRayner.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.